from the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 47. Well, I've been kind of stuck with the prophets the last morning, and here I am again tonight. But they've got great things to say about our day. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate, which faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned, there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes." I want to get in that water. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we bless you and honor you. No one will ever be able to stop what you've begun here at Calvary Christian Center. Thank you for being Lord over your church. We proclaim you King. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Philistines had dammed up the wells of Abraham, and they had cut off the water supply because they were trying every way they could to stop the process of this man's success and favor that God had placed in his life. Well, Isaac dug out the debris and released living water to grow his crops and water his herds in the time of famine that struck the area. He redug the wells of his father. And we're determined, in spite of the Philistines in our day doing everything they can to jam up and stop up the wellsprings of God's goodness, to redig the wells of our fathers and bring life once again to thirsty people. Amen? Because there's life in the waters of God. We are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It is not religion. It is his kingdom. And he creates the flow, and he will not allow anyone to stop up the wells of his salvation. We are unstoppable under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And there are those who will attempt to block our success in God. There are powers at work, even as I'm speaking, to do anything and everything they can to shut us down and shut us up and not allow us again to have a voice in the direction of this culture. But trust me, biblically, they're never going to get their way. It's not going to happen. When God's Spirit is at work, he pushes you up. He does not press you down. He is a well springing up in us. And there's a flow. You know, this is an unusual church. Calvary Christian Center was built under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And spiritual wells were dug here until we hit water. And we've got water flowing in this church. So be alert, Calvary. There is counterfeit stuff around us today. And trust me, it will not work. And there will be disappointment when stuff is substituted for the realities of God's word and God's presence. There's water of the Spirit flowing at Calvary Christian Center. Amen? Never settle for the counterfeit. I want the real flow of the water of his presence, the water began flowing from the temple in the vision of Ezekiel. First of all, the lordship of Christ in his temple causes the water to flow. That's the purpose of God's house, to refresh people, to be a place where people can gather, to hear truth, to be blessed, to be renewed, to be healed, to be whole, to be helped, to be encouraged. Amen? To have their thirst quenched, to refresh. We're not trying to take anything away. We're adding hope to the lives of others when everywhere they turn, there seems to be hopelessness spoken of. We're trying to get something refreshing into the lives of God's people. There's so many pressures attacking people today. One cannot be a pretender. It's hard to fake anything in the world we're in today. Listen, we either have it or we don't. And it's very easy after a short period of time to discern when you have it and when you don't. And I'm happy for the pressure because the pressure makes sure that what comes out of us is authentic. It brings authenticity. Pressure separates the real from the fake. And if with his help you handle the pressure, then you know how to serve and you learn how to honor God in your service. Listen, you will do very well because God is bringing us into a season where he's proving he is with whom he has chosen. He manifests himself with whom he has chosen. God's spirit is flowing no matter what the enemy throws at us. Can you say amen? Amen. You could not stop the water flowing from the temple. And as it flows, it creates a great river affecting everything it touched. Get in the flow of the river because it alone brings life. And second, under the lordship of Christ, the flow will never be contained in one place. It's a river that's moving. It's not stagnating. And God help us, we don't need stagnation. There's been enough of that in the church and the Western culture. Everywhere we turn, society attempts to shut us down. Politicians and socialists attempt at every turn to control us. They will never stop up the river of God. These Philistines are never going to stop what God's trying to do in our world. Even in these last days in the church, Jesus predicted there would be many who would fall away. Even those who get frightened and scared and they become timid, they hear truth they don't want to hear. They hear stuff that corrects and they don't want to hear that. They refuse correction. They don't want any challenge. And then Timothy is told about them by the Apostle Paul when he writes in the last days, there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to parents, and ungrateful. Does that not describe our day? Amen. They will consider nothing sacred. Boy, what a sentence that is. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. You feeling that in the world today? They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. Now, here's the corker right here. They will act religious. Gotta love it when they all go to church and start making their speeches. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Boy, that's pretty straight. Any questions about what he was saying there? So just because there are those who walk away, drop you, even when you've loved them, do not quit serving the Lord. They were not your friends after all. Do not allow armchair quarterbacks to attempt to steer your life. Rely only on God's word and rely completely on the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to you. Listen, they never really get in the game. They only want to play word games with you. Be determined the enemy will never block your flow. This pastor and believers are cheering you on. remain in the river, stay in the flow of God. Amen? Because all I want is to see you swimming in the flow of what God has for us. Because in the flow, you will honor God. You will love and bless other people. You will serve. You will release your giftings. You'll produce fruit. Calvary Christian Center, join us in the flow of the river. Amen. Every time the flow was measured, it increased 1,000 cubits. In the original, it means the waters were swelling, getting higher, and there was more water flowing. So when you fill a pool, it takes a little time, but it begins to swell. And you see it filling and growing deeper in places. And when you're dealing with a river, as the water flows, it begins to swell. It begins to overgo the banks. And know how the river is flowing. And when you see the river flowing, be sure you jump in. Because whatever the river touched in this passage came to life. There's life in the flow of the river of God's Spirit. It brings life wherever we are. And the river began to flow. And too many just get their feet wet. And they freeze there. Kind of feels good, but it's too shallow to take them anywhere. And when the swelling entered my life, and I allowed that river to take me deeper and deeper and deeper, in addition to doing what I do in the great calling of God to serve Him, a holy call came upon my life, and I've served Him these many years, thankfully, honored to do it, and get up every day thrilled with the opportunity. Now I get to mentor others, to help others in ministry, to serve our district and serve our leadership, to assist our military chaplains, to travel into places in the world and help people with resiliency, assist our law enforcement, represent our Civil Air Patrol. The river continues to swell, and wherever it goes, it brings life as it flows. When the river swells, you begin reaching those you never realized you could ever have an influence with. The river is swelling. It goes to the knees. It goes to the waist. The river is swelling. Some can attend church week in and week out and never realize the river is no longer ankle deep. It's gotten deeper. We must never become desensitized to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because challenges and setbacks and discouragements and all kinds of stuff comes in our direction, and they all tend to get us to become reactive and protective, and we end up settling for. We end up losing our edge and our desire. Ankle-deep water starts to seem safe, but there's too much depending on us. We've got a message to carry. We've got other banks to touch. Allowing ourselves to just shrink back is a slow death. No offense intended, but if one chooses to be in a graveyard, why would you want to be around a man who was alive? Water up to the chest. It began at his ankles. It used to be at his knees. Then at his waist. And understand, the waters are getting higher. They're swelling. The flow has increased. The amount of water and the speed of the water has increased. And third, as we progress, we must learn to swim or we will not develop into spiritual leadership. We've got to learn to swim or we'll never take the place God's designed for us because the waters are getting higher. When learning to swim, generally, you begin in the shallow end until you grow a little more confident. Then you kind of launch out a little bit, and you start getting a feel for, hey, I can do this, right? And then you discover their feet are not touching the bottom, and at first they might get a little jolt, but then they begin to realize, I can do this, right? In some churches, they still have the mindset that they had when they first began the journey, and that's where they've stayed. You know, this felt good when we started. This was the level we were happy with, and we're okay right where we are. They may want to launch out, but they're insecure, and they refuse to let go, and they refuse to begin to swim. We must learn to swim in deeper waters because the river gets deeper as we go. Water has now risen to his chest. He's not fearful, and the waters will continue to rise, and the waters will continue to move in our day. That's how God's Spirit works. He's giving us a picture of the dynamic of God's flow, the living water of God as it flows in his family. That's how it works. It will get deeper and deeper and deeper. It will get to the level where you'll no longer be able to touch bottom, and you must know how to swim in the deep water. And fourth, we must be able to handle situations, storms, because it won't be all easy going. We have to be able to cope with the tidal waves of criticism and still function. We need to be able to handle a Judas or two in our lives. You'll have them. We have to be able to handle a Peter who wilts and denies you. We must be able to swim or we'll drown in our own discouragement. The waters are flowing and they make whatever they touch live. But if we can't swim, we'll be swept away and overwhelmed. We have to mature enough as disciples that when someone says something about us that's not true, it does not affect our worship when we come to God's house, nor our service, nor our commitment. It doesn't stop us. It doesn't slow us. It doesn't in any way impede us. We have to mature enough. We're swimmers in deep water. When the homie drops off, you rise up because you know how to swim. We have to be ready because many missed opportunities, many have missed them because they never learned to get into the deep waters. And the opportunities were out there, but never got in them. Because if we miss some opportunities, they may never return. So use your opportunities. Use the vitality God gave you. Because it's swimming in deep water now. Not holding on to the sides of the swimming pool. Not holding on to your floaty. But knowing how to navigate in the deep waters. Are you listening? Okay. What would happen if 300 hungry for God people showed up next Sunday morning to catch the fire of God at Calvary Christian Center? What would happen if 300 hungry for God people showed up to catch the fire of God at Calvary Christian Center? And they all came at once. What would our greeters do? How equipped are you? What would the ushers do? You remember, 3,000 came to the Lord in the book of Acts as the church was birthed. All of a sudden, kaboom. There was an immediate explosion. Now it's deep, and some don't want to go deep, but instead they prefer to go back to a smaller church or a church with a feel-good teacher. And when one does that, other than the one that God brought you to for spiritual maturation, when what happens is one minimizes the favor and blessings available in your life. I'm not against smaller churches, but if that's all that is desired, there's a forfeiture of the blessings that will never manifest in a church that chooses to become stagnant. Those blessings will never appear there as long as people choose. We don't want to get in too deep because it's not comfortable. Fifth, blessings get released as the waters deepen. Did you hear that? There are benefits for going deeper that are not obtainable in the shallows. So let's not bind up leadership because we expect leadership to be at every event and meet everybody's needs. There has to come a moment in the history and the development of a church when the church releases leadership so leadership can have influence, because influence brings favor, which means leadership can't be everybody's buddy, because if all I am is a buddy to people, no, you will fail. I'm your spiritual leader, And we can do some things that can never be accomplished unless your spiritual leader remains your spiritual leader and doesn't become your buddy. Then we can do the things that before you could never be accomplished. Under the Lordship of Christ, the flow will bless, the prophet says, many on both banks. I am tired of all black churches, of all white churches. It's not biblical. It does not reflect the kingdom of God. There are trees on both banks. And if we can't connect with the black and the white and the Latino and the Asian, how can we say that the kingdom of God is ruling in the church? How can we say that's kingdom? Jesus' church reflects the church assembled in heaven in the book of Revelation from every tribe, kindred, and tongue. Everyone was being blessed. Trees were on both banks, and they were all flourishing in the kingdom. The root systems were being fed as the waters rose, so they were thriving, all of them, from every tribe and every kindred and every tongue. I want Calvary to succeed more than some desire to succeed. And the way that we desire to succeed is we need to ask God for refreshing hunger. Give me hunger, Lord. I say to the Father, I just want to help your people to move ahead, to grow, to mature, to become connected to one another and connected with their friends outside these four walls, to tell others about Jesus and be bold enough and have testimony enough of why the way they live and the way they conduct themselves, that they have an open door. Some don't see something in themselves that I see in them, but they're not motivated to go deeper, so they never tap into all God has. There's more in us that we can use. We're not tapped out yet. I am determined to cultivate everything that's inside of me for the glory of God. I'm training and struggling to constantly go deeper, to learn more, to achieve that next promotion. There's always greater potential. Don't shout about potential. Walk in potential. Amen? We carry blessing. And we should bless everybody we meet. People should be better after we leave than before we came. We bring benefit wherever we are. So as the river of His Spirit flows, it carries blessings with it. God's raised up Calvary Christian Center to be a major blessing in our region. People don't have to like us, but all people should benefit from us. We're not after anything other than helping people succeed at what it is God's assigned them to do. So what does God desire to do for His people? It's more than give you a house you can't pay for. God desires we get into the flow of His Spirit, and it won't stop. It flows from generation to generation, and others are then blessed by the Lordship of Jesus Christ. People will receive their healings because they will know we are walking in the flow of God's Spirit, and they know they have potential to walk in the same flow that we've been walking in. Because they see what God's done for us, He'll do it for them as well. And when the river is flowing, you'll witness the supernatural intervention of God. Miracles of healing and provision and protection begin to manifest in the body of Christ. We experience and witness more because He told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. That's the word of the living Jesus, who is the King and Lord of His church. Calvary Christian Center, we have to know how to swim. And the river kept flowing. And the river flowing is bigger than anything we've ever seen. bigger than any experience any of us have ever had. It's greater than anything we've ever anticipated. And every one of us has a role to play as we enter the rivers of his presence. Whether it's the worship team and Donna on the keyboard, along with Shelley and others that are playing instruments, listen, well, they are all helping us keep the river flowing. When you've been carried by the flow, you don't want to walk in the shallows anymore. That's what I was trying to say earlier when I first took the service and I began to tell you about what I experienced as a young man. You know, once you've been in the middle of this thing and you've been swimming, it's not as much fun to just stand in a little kiddie pool ankle deep. It's no fun to walk in the shallows. Now, most love the Lord, but he's not pleased with his church being lukewarm. He's not happy when his church is lukewarm. He's calling us deeper to rise up again in passion, to share his name wherever we are. God's calling us to a new depth of his presence. The psalmist put it, one deep sea calls to another at the roar of your waterspouts. All the white caps on your waves have swept over me. Amen. I want water all over me. Amen. And the deep here in the Hebrew is the word tehom. Tehom. It's meaning an abyss, and out of it a surging mass of water rises. The deep sea or the subterranean water supply flows into that and up out of that abyss and overwhelms everything else in the sea. One doesn't have to be chronologically old to be mature and experienced in the Lord. It's desire for more of God's presence that draws his flow, that deepens us. And it's beginning to flow here at Calvary Christian Center. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive him as your friend, as your baptizer, as the one who comes into your life and upon your life. And when his river is flowing, you don't reject yourself and say, this is not for me. Jesus picked us. He chose us. He's ready to give us something we've dreamed about, some thought we never knew we could ever have. And God desires to bring back the fullness of his Spirit to his church in this last great awakening. God's doing something new. Something he has not done in America in over 100 years. So why not learn to swim in it? Why do we come back here on Sunday night? We know the river has brought us this far. And some have got their feet in the water. Then they got up and got a little frightened and turned off the flow. Some have started surfing, riding high, and just before they got the big one, they cut off the wave and bailed out. When we are ascribing to see great things through the Spirit of God, we have to remember the waves didn't begin with us. They flow from Jesus. That's where the waves of living water come from. He's the source, and he wants to do this for us. When he's enthroned upon our hearts, we become humble and teachable, and he fills us with his Spirit, resulting in Jesus stood up and he cried out and said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Some people have been dry. And I'm preaching this tonight because God's prophesying he wants to release the flow of his Holy Spirit. But we have to know how to swim and be willing to learn how to jump in the deep water. We can't be afraid of the river. And we haven't seen how deep it's going to get, nor seen how many will be drawn to Jesus just because they want to be in his presence. Something is building in this culture. Like a tsunami, God's about to flip the script in this culture. There are those who think they've got all the momentum. They're going to carry all the messages of truth that God has planted in the historical roots of this great country, and they're going to carry them away somewhere, never to be seen again. They have no idea that God always has the last word. And he's about to flip the script here. Can you feel it? I mean, I feel it. It's an underlying rumbling in my spirit. It's the momentum rising of people who've been battered and bruised and bullied into the corner far too long. And time's up. We will not have it any longer. We are rising. Our voices are being heard. And because it's taken our peace, it's taken our mental state, it's broken up marriages, it's stolen our children, it's trying to kill our faith and our health, it's taken our destinies, it's taken our cities and our nations and polluted them, but it's not over. There's a shift happening in the script, and there's a rising of people declaring with what Isaiah said in chapter 42, this is a people plundered and looted. They are all of them trapped in holes and hidden in prisons. They have become plunder with none to rescue, spoil with none to say, restore. But we will cry out in our day, restore. To restore our family, restore our children, restore the injustices in our culture. Amen. Restore. Restore our cities. Restore our nation. Lift your voices. You are mighty ones in the Lord. This is the hour of the turning and the flipping of the script. Amen. We need a fresh recommissioning of the Holy Spirit's power and authority that's sweeping this earth in all different cultures to appear here in our nation. We need a fresh baptism of Holy Spirit fire. Amen. You aren't small. You are not weak. You are not empty-handed or powerless or defeated. No, you are mighty. You are powerful. You've been given scepters of authority and rods to rule the nations. God is raising up his church in his kingdom. Get ready. God is flipping the script. I don't know about you, but I'm just a little bit excited. Can you tell? I've got some things that percolating inside of me the Holy Spirit has been trying to make real over the last several months. Maybe you've been living under and never above, not where God wants you. He doesn't want you under or beneath. He wants you above always. You're just surviving and never reigning. God's going to flip your script. When Jesus went out of the way to visit the woman at the well in Samaria, remember he had one thing in mind. Because he watched her, observed her. And her story was one of heartache woven through this woman's life. And he knew he had the power to see change in her in a moment. He said, the water I'm going to give you, you will never thirst again. So he asked her for a drink, and then he said something profound. He said, everyone who drinks of this water will never thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him, listen, will never thirst, right? Indeed, the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. Okay, so if you drink this water, you will thirst again, but you drink of the water I give you, you will never thirst. I've seen many people throughout the years in the church, weathering storm after storm. And you're carrying a commissioning anointing because you've weathered the storm. You have faced them. You have endured them. You've been battered by them at times. They are storm breakers because the storms have come. They've come often. They've come multiple times in your life and through seasons. But God has helped you to get through them. And you've held steady enough to weather them. You've taken some lumps and some hurts. And you were even at the point where you just about broke yourself under the enduring battering of the storm. Now you carry a powerful anointing. It's a lethal weapon against the assault and the assignments of the adversary. You need to let him feel the lumps you're going to put on him. These storm breakers are deliverers for people, people who've been stuck, people who have been bogged down. And with a mighty decree or a mighty shout, you can pull them out of the mire and out of the cycles of their dysfunction, right? The flipping of the power from the worldly to the godly is taking place in all kinds of places and tribes on this planet. It needs to happen once again in our cities and in America to turn power from the worldly to the godly. King Jesus is coming to earth in order to ready his bride by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is our time. What we're seeing and experiencing will be life-changing. Are you ready for it? Yeah. I said, are you ready for it? Yeah. I'm ready for it. I've been ready for it for a long time. We're not going to have enough preparedness. There isn't enough time to prepare fully for it because the floodgates of God have already begun to open around the world. And once opened, they will not close because we're living in the day of the Lord. His majesty is being revealed. It's his season to gather his bride and to assemble her to himself. Jesus is being glorified and he wants his body to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. So we have to change our attitudes. We have to shift our agendas. We can't miss this ride. We have to allow ourselves to flow in the middle of this. This will make the difference, all the difference, going forward. I am pro-Christ. I am pro-church. And listen, God is raising up females, not just males, in the body of Christ. He's calling the men to step up once again and become leaders in the church. He's calling females to carry the gospel. I just picked up this article the other day, and I thought it was quite interesting. I don't have time to read it to you, but it's an open letter from the Apostle Paul to John MacArthur regarding Beth Moore. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. This is really cool. This is good, and I like it. I said, man, this is good. I wish I had time to read all of it, because last week at a conference in the San Fernando Valley, Pastor John MacArthur was asked to give two-word response regarding the name of Beth Moore. Now, some of you ladies know who she is. You've sat under her ministry and teaching. She's an evangelist from Houston, an outspoken woman of God about abuses of women in the church. MacArthur's response was, what's the two-word sentence you have for her? Go home, he said. He said, there's no case that can be made biblically for a woman preacher. Period. Paragraph. End of discussion. Well, someone decided to take Paul's writings, I wish I had time to read them all to you, and respond to the pastor. Jesus used to say, women have played such a crucial role in my mission, I could not have operated without their partnership, because it was women, you can read it in the scripture and the gospels, a band of them that traveled with Jesus and his disciples that provided for them on a regular daily basis. But Paul goes on to say, Euodia and Syntyche in Philippians 4 can't go home, Paul writes. Sometimes these women, they didn't always get along, but they have been leaders in evangelism and outreach and have worked alongside me to fight for the faith. They cannot go home. Junia can't go home, John. Sorry. She's in prison again because of her work for the gospel out there in the world. Phoebe can't go home, John. She went to Rome. Actually, I sent her there. I love this. I sent her with my letter to the Romans and also to provide ministry support there. And he goes on, of course, talking about Nympha to her home in Lycus Valley to not to do domestic duties, she has servants for that, but to be the house church leader and patroness of the church there at Colossae. My goodness. So grace to you, John, and let others also know you are a grace-filled believer as well. Remember, grace is generosity mixed with love out of the compassion of Christ. And he signs it Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. I love it. It's really good. But God, listen to me. I'm pro-church. I'm pro-Jesus. He's the king. God's raising up male and female. I will pour out my spirit on men and on women in the last days. Amen. Yes. That Baptist better read the book of Joel and what Peter preached, amen, so he can figure this out. We're going to see life where there has been death. It's about to hit. It's about to bring new life. That which was once dead is going to live again. We're going to see things change. We thought it's too late. They'll never change. Some Christians even have given up on our culture. I've not given up on what God can do to our culture. Things will rise up. You never thought you'd comprehend. His church will explode overnight when God's power strikes once again. Look and be amazed, for I'm doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it, the prophet said. He's stirring us in our day. We must learn to swim in the stirring of God's waters. We can't control this. This is all God. I said, this is all God. It's stirring. The atmosphere is changing. I see legions of angels moving into position. It's going to be greater than Azusa Street. It's better than the prophecies that were given back then on Azusa Street. It's happening today. I don't know what to name it. I don't know what to call it. It's going to transform his church. It's going to transform everything. His presence will heal cancer, cast out devils, cause people to be whole in an instant. It won't be our way. It will be the way of King Jesus. God said he will do something in our day. We'll be hard-pressed to wrap our brains around it. It'll be a sovereign move of the Spirit of the living God. And I'm just trying to get things ready. I'm trying to get people in order so we won't be blown away. God will use us tremendously. I can't stop it. You can't stop it. We've got to learn to go with the flow of His presence. And this outpouring from on high has momentum. It will never be stopped. And this is coming upon the church today, the church where he is Lord over all. Aren't you grateful he's Lord over all? The church he governs, it's been building for a long time. Why? Because people have been crying out. People have been suffering. People have been beaten back and battered by the words of our culture and suffering and waiting. God has heard our cries and he has come down. And deliverance has come for his church. It will affect every community where there are people submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Drugs will be thrown away. Deliverance from addiction and will transform lives. Self-centeredness will instantly turn into, listen, selflessness. And people who thought they have seen a move of God will have never seen anything like this. On the level of the Great Awakening will be the restoration of the church. He will not use those who are married to their past. He will use people who are willing to go with the flow. I know about you, but I've already signed on to go with the flow. God will use his people tremendously to influence and to change communities. And people ready to follow, people ready, listen, ready to yield themselves, people who become flexible, God will use us. It will open avenues and streams because God is not willing that any perish. He wants his message out to everyone and as many as possible so his bride can be assembled. Amen? And it won't be because God's not in a box. He's not married to doing it the way we saw it when we grew up. He's got all new and amazing ways of acting, and officials will be affected, and educators will be affected. Entertainers are being affected. My goodness. We'll jump into the flow. The medical field will jump into the middle of this. Am I reading this right? That Kanye West made a surprise appearance on the Jimmy Kimmel live show on Thursday to promote his album, Jesus is King. And he told Jimmy Kimmel how his perspective on having a family has changed over the last year and said, quote, "Now that God has called me and I now have given my life to Jesus Christ and I work for God and we have Christian innovation in our time." And then he went on to say in another article, Apple Music's Beats, quote, "Now that I'm in service to Christ, my job is to spread the gospel, to let people know what Jesus has done for me." Really? I've spread a lot of things. Listen, he said, "I've spread a lot of things." I'm sure he has. There was a time I was letting you know what high fashion had done for me. I was letting you know what the Hennessy had done for me. But now I'm letting you know what Jesus has done for me. And in that, I'm no longer a slave. I'm a son now, a son of God, and I'm free. Now, my prayer, if this is accurate, is that he get himself under spiritual leadership and authority so the enemy doesn't come and steal that, because I've watched that happen many times, and the enemy's killed revivals simply because people thought, well, now that I'm saved, I know everything. I know everything. And we don't. We're just now newborn babies. We've just entered the first stages in the kingdom, and we need people to disciple us. Go into all the world and make disciples, the scripture says Jesus commanded us, which simply means they're not born again disciples. They're born again, but not yet disciples. They have to be taught. I'll pray. You pray for him that he gets with the right people who will mentor him and help him. Just because he's got a lot of money and a lot of influence doesn't mean he knows everything there is to know about how to live the Christian life. Amen? So he needs leadership. But that's an indicator of what God can do and will do when he starts moving by his Spirit and he begins to impact and change lives. They're coming, and the river will not be stopped because it's already started. It's here. He is here. It's all him. Amen? It's all him, and he's going to be front and center. And when it's all said and done, this will all bring glory to the one and only, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, will be front and center once again in our world before the taking away of his bride. That doesn't mean the enemy's just going to roll over and applaud us. There'll be those who will get hard and mean, evil, look for ways to do us great harm. That's fine. All I want to do is serve Jesus. Amen. That's all I want to do. So here's what we need to do tonight. Let's all stand. Let's, as many of us as possible, get down here to the front, right here in his presence, and say, Holy Spirit, ready me. Ready me. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. But ready me, Holy Spirit, for this great outpouring of your presence and revelation of Jesus. If you desire him, let's all get down here and say, I want to be ready. I want to learn how to swim. I want to be able to jump into the middle of this thing, and I want to be able to succeed with where you're taking me. So as many of you as can, while we're worshiping, for the next few moments, let's come to his presence. Let's gather together with one another. Let's pray the Holy Spirit blesses the whole body of Christ collectively. Let's pray we have an outpouring of the Spirit at Calvary Christian Center. I want us to be in the middle of this thing. Not Johnny come late latelys. Amen. I want us to be right smack dab. I want us to be leading the charge. I don't want to be the caboose. I want to be the engine in this thing. Amen. So if you're desirous, I don't want to wait to catch on later on someday. I want to be leading the charge. Let's go with God. If you're hungry for more of Him,